a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Cougar Sports Saturday. Yes, we are alive. We're doing well. We're feeling good. We're glad to be back. My goodness, it's been far too long. Mitch Harper, Dallin Grass, my co-host today, Matt Biamonte, the usual co-host, he's on the phone. He's going to be joining us as well. We're going to be talking BYU-USF preview. It's in podcast form this week, but hey, we'll be back on the airwaves next week as BYU gets ready for Boise State. We'll be on 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, the KSL News Radio app. So thanks for all your patience and questions asking, hey, when's Cougar Sports Saturday going to be back? We appreciate the patience. BYU has had this uncanny amount of day games this year, but getting back to that nighttime schedule. So we're going to be back on the air next week, but we're back on podcast form this week, and this is a big game, fellas. Let's bring in Matt Biamonte and Dallin Graff here. And, man, this is a huge game. Cougars going to be taking on South Florida. BYU's a favorite. Both teams 2-3. A lot of great storylines here. And, Dallin, we'll start off with you since you're here in studio with me. Just some of the initial thoughts of this big-time matchup for BYU and what it means for the Cougars.
Yeah, this game feels bigger than it should perhaps feel.
Right.
I mean, it's a matchup of 2-3 teams. It's USF. You know, it's not, you know, especially after the first four games, we had all these great matchups. It doesn't feel as important as it doesn't seem like it should be this important. But at 2-3 and where they're at in the season and what they have coming up with Boise State next week, Utah State the week after, this seems like a really big game. The difference between 3-3 and 2-4 is huge. And so going into this matchup after the loss against Toledo, you had a bye week, you had some time to sit with it. We got Jaren Hall, the backup quarterback, playing. I mean, there are a lot of stakes in this game, and I'm really curious to see how it all ends up.
Let's bring on Matt Biamonte, Cougar Sports Saturday host. Follow him on Twitter at Biamonte. Matt, he's over the phone handling his business. He's a hardworking guy all around the clock. There's no sleep for Matt Biamonte. Matt, it's good to have you talk to you again here, man. And how are you feeling about this BYU team? Because I'll tell you, the last two games just haven't felt good for this BYU program.
No.
How are you feeling about the Cougs?
I'm feeling nervous, guys. I'm feeling like we're on the verge of seeing some major shifts at BYU, and they have to get this game. I mean, Dallin just said this seems like a big game. Take out the word seems, Dallin. This is a big game because these are the type of teams that Kalani has struggled to beat throughout his time at BYU. These games where you should beat them and you don't, and we just went through that with Toledo. I don't know about you guys, but I felt like BYU was the better team in that game. They come up with the loss, and they have to win this football game. Kalani might be fighting for his job, and it starts with this game.
Well, I think that's a great point there, Matt, because I do feel like this is a big game for Kalani. It's also big for USF in terms of Charlie Strong's future. So you're talking about two programs that are maybe fighting a little bit for their coaches. And I've publicly said I feel like Kalani has done enough to earn a contract extension, but that loss to Toledo took a lot of the sales out of the out of that conversation because, yes, Toledo's a good football team, but still talent-wise, resources-wise, BYU should beat a Toledo. They should beat a program like USF, too. I mean, you look at this USF team, you look at the stats, especially on the offense and their defense. I mean, BYU should win this football game. And the fact that the line is going down and getting closer and closer to maybe potentially favoring USF. BYU is still a favorite by 5 points, but it's came down. The Cougars were once a 7-point favorite. Now it's down to 5. And again, this BYU program is just so inconsistent. And Dallin, I just feel like this BYU team, 1 week they could give you a great USC win, but the next week they could just lay a total egg. And that's what I think makes this game so intriguing is that you just don't know what to expect. Hopefully they can start to form some sort of consistency starting this week with the Bulls.
Yeah, and that's what's been hard, I think, for fans to watch this team because we have the great, you know, the Tennessee win, the double overtime, and then you get USC at home, and then UW comes to town, and it was, you know, they were no match, you know, and then you play a team like Toledo that you should beat and you don't. And so, like Matt said, this is traditionally where Kalani has struggled and where this team has struggled under him to beat these types of teams. And this is a big test. It's not about beating the Utahs and the UWs, I think, for BYU. It's can you clean the slate like this? If you're a Power 5 team, if you're a Utah in the Pac-12, you've got to beat Oregon State. You've got to beat Colorado. Like, you've got to beat the lower-level teams consistently. BYU needs to be able to beat these types of teams, the Toledos, the USFs, if they want to be at that same level. And so it's going to be interesting to see the 2 weeks of preparation, especially now that Jaren Hall will be the quarterback on Saturday, I think is a lucky break that it happened in between this time with the bye. They get a little more time to prepare. But I'm curious for Matt, what do you think with Jaren Hall starting in this game, what do you think he's going to bring to the team? Do you think it'll be any different than what we had with Zach Wilson? Or how has BYU prepared these last 2 weeks to have him as their starting quarterback?
That's a tough question because we haven't seen enough from Jaren to know what kind of leader he is. But from a skills perspective, I like Jaren Hall just as much as I like Zach Wilson. And I think this coaching staff does too. I remember talking to them a lot during fall camp, and they were clear that regardless of who was going to be the quarterback, they wanted Zach to be the quarterback and be healthy. But when Jaren comes in, it's going to be the same type of stuff. I mean, Jaren Hall's skills are phenomenal. I think he throws a great football. He's got the arm strength. He's got the legs. I mean, that last drive, that could have been a really interesting finish for Jaren Hall because he moved them down into scoring position. Obviously, he wasn't able to get the win, but I feel good about Jaren Hall, and it's going to be interesting to see how the team responds. But there's so much about this offense right now that whether it's Zach or Jaren, they've got to find a way to run the football without Tyson Williams. And so much of Jaren's success, I think, is going to come down to the other 10 on the field. Better protection, better running the football. The receivers, who were phenomenal the first couple weeks, some drops have started to come into play. So it's not just on the quarterback. I think the whole offense has to sharpen up. But I'm really curious to see Jaren get the reins and see what he can do.
Yeah, I'm glad you make that point, Matt, because I think that I think Jaren Hall is going to surprise BYU fans. I think he's going to play really well. I really believe that against USF. Now, maybe against Boise and Utah State with some film for those teams to study Jaren Hall, maybe it won't be as productive. But I think this week, I think Jaren's going to do a nice job because USF's got to go back to, what, Maple Mountain film back 5-4 years ago? How relevant is that to today? There's not much film and ways for this USF team to study Jaren Hall. So I think you're right. The running backs have got to deliver. If BYU gets, I think, anywhere near like 150 yards rushing, I think they're going to win this game. And I think they're very capable of doing that. This offensive line, the interior of the O-line, has let BYU down quite a bit the last 2 weeks. Tristan Hodge, I know he's been battling injuries, but he's got to step up. There's no excuse for that. I mean, he's been a guy that's been lauded as potentially one of the better players on the offense, and he's let BYU down. And I think also in the interior of the offensive line at the other guard spot, you know, Channon Herring's been okay. He's done a nice job. I think he's better than Kiefer Longson at the moment. That's been surprising development. But, you know, Kiefer Long since banged up. That old line, the interior, has got to get better. James Empey's got to be sharper with snaps. Been very surprised by that. So that group paired with, like you said, Matt, the wide receivers, no more drops. You can't have that happen.
No.
BYU's receivers, they're not going to be the world beaters, but I think there's been flashes of brilliance, which I didn't think that was going to happen maybe before the year. Micah Simons made great plays. Aleva Hefo 2 weeks ago, that 75-yarder, I'm thinking, okay, BYU's blowing the doors open.
Yep.
They're up 14-3, and then there's some drops and things like that. You just can't have that happen. This team's got to have consistency. You know, can they maintain that for a whole 60 minutes? I feel like the entire Kalani Sitake era has been filled with games like that Toledo. Even with Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams, where it's like, okay, a couple drives where, man, that looked amazing. And then you got two drives where you're like, what did I just watch? It's just so inconsistent. I want to see this team put it all together, because even with Jaren Hall, I think this team is capable of playing a full 60 minutes against an inferior opponent.
And let me add a wild card to all this too, which is Jeff Grimes in the play calling, because I am concerned, guys, that this is going to be kind of a vanilla scheme with Jaren Hall. And I hope that's not the case. I hope they just say, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to take shots. We're going to be aggressive. You know, I don't want to see dink and dunk all game long. And then, you know, we look back and we lose a game 16-10 and we didn't take any shots. I mean, we can't, even though Jaren Hall's never started a game, we can't have bubble wrap on him. This guy's an athlete.
No
doubt. We got to let this guy flourish. And so we also got to keep an eye on Jeff Grimes, because Jeff Grimes, who was so good in a lot of the Tennessee and USC game, we didn't quite see that as much in the Toledo game. I mean, there were some explosive plays. It's not all on Jeff Grimes, but I do have that concern where it's like, we're down Tyson, we're down Zach, we're not going to be creative, we're not going to be aggressive, we got to come back to our base offense. I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, and what do you have to lose at this point? I mean, you're 2-3. You've got your backup quarterback in. Like Mitch said, you know, there's no tape on Jaren Hall. USF, you know, you know who he is. We know he's an athlete. He's quick. But that's it. So USF has no idea, you know, how to actually game plan, what Jaren Hall looks like in a full game. So you're right. Jeff Grimes has everything at his arsenal.
Maybe the fear, Dallin, is simply the job status. I mean, because again, you know, if BYU loses this game, and it could happen, I don't think they will, but I mean, we'll get to our predictions on that later. But if BYU loses this game, there is serious conversations that'll be had about the future of Kalani Sitake and the staff. It's just going to happen. It's the reality. And Kalani, I think, realizes that. They're not going to publicly say this is a must-win, but it is a must-win. I feel like BYU's got to come away with a victory here, because I think, like, if you get that win, it could turn in some confidence, and confidence is huge in college football. And if you get a confident football team against Boise State at home, maybe something like the USC game could happen. You get another top 25 win. This is a huge game. And I think that's where I think Matt's on to something, that maybe they do go a little bit vanilla, and because this is such a critical game, I think, for this staff and their future going forward.
I hope you're not right, Matt. I hope you're not right with the vanilla playbook.
I don't want them to be. I think we've seen that before where, I mean, even think about last year when Tanner won the job, I never felt like he was given the reins of the offense. I mean, in a lot of ways it was, we're not going to turn over the ball, we're going to be protective of Tanner. And it wasn't until late in the year where you kind of felt like, okay, we're opening things up, we're going to let Zach play. I just have felt like this coaching staff, they really do highlight, we don't want to turn over the football, and sometimes that comes at the expense of letting some of your talented dudes make plays. And so, yeah, I don't want them to be vanilla, but I could see that happening, because you don't want Jaren to come out and then have a 3 or 4 interception game. I don't know. This is why I'm not paid to make these kind of decisions, but as a fan, I don't want to see us be vanilla. I want us to run the same offense that we've been running with Zach, because I think Jaren has that skill set.
Well, I think also, too, I think BYU's got a little bit wider margin for error against a team like USF. So I think you can maybe afford potentially 2 interceptions, because you couldn't afford to cough up the football against a Washington or USC. I feel like the margin for error is a little bit bigger. So with that, I feel like they can still be aggressive, because I remember last year when you're talking about, you know, opening up the playbook for Wilson. I mean, we forget, all of us do, it naturally happens because of how great the second half was. But that first half against another MAC team in Western Michigan, BYU wasn't opening it up then. Then in the second half, the perfection and the great offensive came about, and everyone was feeling good in the offseason about what BYU's offense could become. So there's just this track record of playing a little bit conservative, kind of feeling things out in the first half with Grimes. But I feel like you got to set the tone early in this game. Don't let USF believe at any point that they can win this game, because I feel like they still feel like they are clearly the underdog, and I feel like they're worried about, you know, BYU's size in the trenches and things like that. BYU's probably going to have more fans than USF, for goodness sake. I mean, there's not going to be any sort of crowd at that stadium, so get BYU to set the tone early and really take USF out of it, because unlike BYU, I feel like USF is a bunch of guys that they're not going to play a full 60 minutes. BYU's going to play for a full 60 minutes, and they're going to give it their all. I don't question the effort of these BYU teams, whereas other programs, they'll give up. And I feel like if BYU can jump on these guys early, they can get them to kind of fold and give up on Charlie Strong and that USF team.
Yeah, let's look at, I want to ask you guys, speaking of USF in this matchup specifically, what are the aspects of this matchup that you think BYU can take advantage of, either offensively or defensively? Mitch, I'll ask you first. What do you look at when you see South Florida and what BYU can do against them?
Well, I think BYU's got an advantage. Their defensive line, their front seven, against USF's offensive line. I mean, USF gives up some of the most number of sacks in all of college football. Now, it's interesting, USF's one of the more opportunistic defenses. They force a lot of takeaways and create a lot of havoc, but they give up a lot of havoc as well. So this is the week where BYU's maybe pass rush that at times has been non-existent with this three-man pass rush that's been heavily scrutinized, had success against USC, but since that game, it feels like it's been non-existent, especially when you're going up against the Toledo team that far smaller, yet they're winning in the trenches. That was disappointing. BYU's pass rush has got to be on point. I would like to think, guys, that I feel like Kalani Sitake, knowing the significance behind the scenes of what this game maybe means for him and his future in the program, I got to think he's going to be involved with some of the defensive play calling. Maybe not the play calling per se, but heavily involved with the scheme and the execution, what's going to take place on Saturday on that defense, because him and Tuiaki are close, and Kalani's got that track record of being a former defensive coordinator. I would like to think he's going to be heavily involved, and I think BYU is going to be more aggressive than what we've seen in weeks past.
For me, this may come as a surprise to you guys, but I think BYU has an advantage at quarterback. I know that sounds crazy, but I just think that Jaren Hall and Zach Wilson, but Zach's not playing, I think both of those guys are the real deal. I think that Jaren Hall is really talented. He provides an element, and I haven't seen, and Mitch, maybe you correct me, I'm not sure who's going to start at quarterback for South Florida. They played a couple different guys. Is it going to be Blake Barnett?
It seems like it's going to be McLeod, the freshman, that Jordan McLeod, who's kind of taken on that, but still kind of up in the air, though. It feels like all indications are McLeod, but Barnett, the former five-star Alabama guy, could maybe still be that guy, but seems like McLeod, the freshman, is going to get the nod.
Yeah, and so whether it was either of them, I just like what BYU's quarterbacks from a dual threat capability can bring, and so I would say that for me, BYU has the advantage at quarterback. I think the biggest question, and I've already brought this up, but it's, are we going to let Jaren Hall kind of be himself and do what this offense has been doing? But I think there's going to be opportunities for BYU's offense, and there have been through most of the season. I think back to that Toledo game. The BYU's offense had so many opportunities, guys, to score more points than they did. And so I don't think that's going to change here with Jaren Hall, but really, can the offense as a whole, can they cash in when they're in scoring position? Because when they cross the 35-yard line, we need to be getting three and preferably six when we get into the red zone. So that's something that I'm going to be keeping an eye on is, can this offense, can they score when they have the opportunities?
You know, I'm curious, Dallin, what do you think is going to be some of the advantages for this BYU team?
Well, I think passing offense, BYU is 39th in passing offense in the nation. And, I mean, you put out, I think, the great stat of where Zach Wilson was projected to go for the rest of his season with what he was on pace before. They're throwing the ball a lot. The touchdowns aren't there. Only five passing touchdowns. But the yardage is there. They're moving the ball over the air. I think that's going to be an advantage for them. I think offensively in general, BYU should be able to do what they want against USF. And I really hope that they take advantage of the talent we have at running back. Tyson looked great before he got injured, and yet BYU still ranks 123rd in rushing offense.
Yep.
They only average 102 yards a game. And Tyson looked great. And we were calling for it week after week. They still didn't use him enough. It was only 15 carries. Can you get over it? And then you have Emmanuel Supa, who has looked really good, I think, instead of Tyson. Can we use these guys? Can we lean on a run game with a, you know, redshirt freshman making his first start on the road? Can we rely on a consistent run game this against USF? I think not only can BYU succeed in that, but that's going to open up Jaren even more, give him confidence, give him momentum, help in the passing offense. So that's what I'm looking for BYU. And Mitch, like you said, sacks. The saddest stat I researched today was the fact that BYU has more interceptions than sacks.
Wow.
And they only have 6 interceptions. It's not like they...
That's a great stat, though. I mean, you're getting to the midway point of the season, and you're talking about you've thrown more picks than you got sacks. I mean, come on. I mean, because the thing is that the calling card of Kalani Sitake and Elisa Tuiaki defenses back in the day at Utah was Sack Lake City. I mean, getting to the quarterback and getting that pass rush, that was the calling card. And that's why it's been frustrating to not see that, you know, manifest itself week in, week out. The USC game was, you thought, man, that's the breakthrough because it's USC. You're doing it against USC. You can't do it against Toledo. Are you kidding me? So, they got to perform better in the pass rush. And I think, too, the Jaren Hall conversation, I'm excited to see what he's going to do because I just feel like what Matt was saying earlier about how the coaches were very excited about him in fall camp, it's true. I mean, I think BYU fans should feel very fortunate and blessed to have two quarterbacks that I believe could start at a lot of Power 5 programs. They're that good. I mean, Zach Wilson, you've seen what he's been able to do. I mean, 264 yards per game so far. He's expected to be back at some point this season, but I think Jaren's going to do a nice job filling in, and I think he's going to perform quite nicely, and I think there's also that great angle of the historical impact with him being the first Black American to start at BYU at quarterback. I got a feeling that, you know, a lot of people are going to, you know, he wants to deliver. I think he's very proud of that, and I think that means a lot, and it's great for BYU from an optic standpoint. It's a good thing. It's a good storyline, and hopefully BYU can deliver with a win and make it a really memorable Saturday afternoon for the Cougars because they need this one. I mean, to get to 3-3 would be huge for this team at this point of the season.
I'm just not sure, guys, that the defensive line, that we're going to see a significantly different, unless it's scheme. I think we've seen enough to see that these guys, you know, probably aren't the best pass rushers that BYU's ever had. And so, maybe that's a scheme thing, and we could argue whether it is or it's not. But I hesitate to say that. I guess I'm just skeptical and leery that we're going to see a different story with the pass rush.
Yeah, with only 5 sacks through 5 games, Matt, I think your skepticism is warranted for sure.
And look, like the Power 5 thing's one thing, but Toledo's good. Let's not say that Toledo's garbage because they're not, but that Toledo game was discouraging in so many ways, and that was one of them because we just got gouged in the running game, absolutely gouged in the running game. And so, you know, running or passing, I want to see more from this defensive line, and until I see it, I have a hard time believing we're going to see that change.
I'm curious, Matt, with you being the special teams guy, how are you feeling about Jake, or Ice Cold Roy? He doesn't want to be called Jake the Make anymore. He was ice cold 2 weeks ago, going 0-for-2, a little bit under the weather, though. Do you expect Old Droid to bounce back this week, or should we expect to see Southam? What do you make of the field goal kicking situation?
Oh, man. This is a sensitive subject, Mitch, but honestly, I did not like the decision at all from Kalani to pull Jake Oldroyd in that situation. One of the two misses hit the post, so
yeah.
It wasn't like he was shanking them. I mean, kickers miss kicks. Matt Gay, who won the award and is now in the NFL, that guy missed field goal kick. I mean, that happens. I didn't like it one bit. I think that he can respond, but that was just one of many puzzling coaching decisions where it just didn't make sense to me. And then there were moments in that Toledo game too where a field goal would have been nice. We go for it on fourth, we don't get it, we're not really good at converting on fourth down. So it was certainly disappointing, but I felt like he had done enough previously to continue kicking throughout that game, and so I absolutely did not agree with Kalani pulling him, and I hope and pray that this dude's, I feel like this dude has done enough to get the first kick in the South Florida game.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know, I think basically all we've said this entire time is this is a big game. There's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of things. BYU should win this game. BYU needs to win this game. The difference between going into Boise State at 2-4 and going into Boise State at 3-3 is huge. And so I'm curious to see how it all shakes out. It's going to be really fascinating to see. I want to know you guys, before we kind of wrap up this conversation, what do you expect from this game, outcome-wise? Do you think BYU is going to get the victory, and maybe how it's going to look?
I think BYU is going to win. I do. With all this said and kind of the concerns, I think this team's going to show up, and I think they're going to win. Now, will it be pretty? No. I don't think they're going to blow them out. I would love to see that, because I feel like to really kind of maybe change the trajectory and narrative of this team, you'd have to almost blow out USF and think, okay, you've overcome the shortcomings that you saw had the previous two games against Washington and Toledo, but you just got to get a win at this point, and I think it's going to be close, and I think that it's probably going to come down to the wire for BYU and USF, and I think the Cougars find a way to get it done. And I think, you know, I'm in agreement with Matt that Jake Oldroyd should not be pulled. He should still be the guy. I haven't seen that clutch of a kicker at BYU in quite some time. He needs to be the guy, and I think he's going to come up big for BYU. And I think he maybe tacks on a field goal or two late in the fourth quarter to give BYU a 6-point win over the Bulls in South Florida.
I like BYU as well in this one. I also agree with you, Mitch. It's not going to be pretty. I don't think we're going to see the type of win that we all want to see, which is us going down there and putting up 30-plus points and winning by double-digit margin. I think this game is going to be very similar to the Toledo game, where it's going to be mid-20s, maybe even a little bit lower. But I think that BYU will do enough to win. I think the defense, especially the back half, I mean, the linebackers have been phenomenal all season long. They've been absolutely the surprise story from the defensive side of things. I think they'll make some plays, and I think BYU will hang on and win this one. So I like BYU, but I don't know if we're going to see the improvement we want to see, but at this point, you just got to beat this team and then get back to work for the rest of the month.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you guys. I think BYU gets the win in Tampa Bay at Raymond James Stadium. And I agree. I don't think, I mean, you're playing your backup quarterback in his first ever collegiate start. It's not going to be a pretty win. It's not, I don't think he's going to go in and light up the field per se. I think he's going to look good, but this is going to be a tough win. BYU will rely, I think, on their defense to get a victory, and they need it going into a big matchup, having the Boise State Broncos coming to Provo next weekend. Before we kind of end this, we want to talk about basketball a little bit, right?
Yeah.
We had BYU media, basketball media day this week. Mitch, what were your thoughts from that? What are your thoughts as we are less than a month away from the beginning of BYU basketball season?
Well, the good news for BYU fans is that this team has three of the best players in the West Coast Conference. Yoeli Childs, TJ Haas, and Jake Toulson are three of the best players that this league has to provide this season. Problem is, you don't have Yoeli for the first nine, and TJ Haas coming back from a knee injury, and this is Jake Toulson's first year at BYU. I mean, it's a step up in competition from the WAC to the WCC. So there's some questions, and you only got seven scholarship players available in practice right now. The injuries, the twists and turns this offseason have been wild with this BYU basketball team. With all that said, though, I'm all in on Mark Pope. I mean, I think Mark Pope, he can have a little bit of that salesman feel where he's overhyping everything, but I feel like he's going to get the most he can out of this roster, and I think this team's going to be pretty fun to watch. I feel like if they would have been fully assembled to, you know, having Yoeli for a full season and Gavin Baxter for a whole season, we'd be talking about an NCAA tournament team. My outlook's changed a little bit, but I feel like they're going to be entertaining, and they're going to be a lot more fun to follow this year than maybe the last few years for this BYU basketball program.
Yeah, this team has the potential to be one of the more exciting teams that BYU's seen in a long time. I think a lot of that will depend on their ability to shoot the three, and that's been a real problem lately, being able to hit that consistently, especially against good teams. But by all indications, this team has a good to great, I mean, shooting potential with TJ and Jake Toulson, and But the size, I mean, that's it's such a bummer. You said it best, Mitch, and I felt this way leading up before news started to break. But when Yoeli announced that he came back, so we talked about this on the show back in the summer. I felt like this team can go to the tournament with some development from some of the younger guys and the additions of Toulson and having Yoeli back. Like, this felt like this could be the year. Maybe we don't win the WCC because Gonzaga is legit, but this feels like we're getting back to the tournament. Now you're down Gavin. You're down Yoeli for a chunk. TJ's coming back from it. It's just like, come on. This, what a bummer, because this could have been, and it might still be, a great season, but it's going to be hard to overcome the lack of size. And I think the only way that they can do that is to be one of the best three-point shooting teams that BYU's ever had. And maybe they can. I mean, they've got the shooters, and so it's going to be fun. But this, I get the feeling this team is going to be running, gunning, shooting a lot of threes, and it's going to be fun to watch.
You know, and I feel like, too, the thing that I'm very excited to see potentially about this team is maybe their best basketball will be played in March. And ultimately, that's what Cougar fans want. They want their best basketball to be played in the month of March. You know, get down to Vegas and let the chips fall and see if you can get three wins down in Vegas, because we've seen BYU have great stretches in November and January, but what does that ultimately mean? Nothing. Goes to the NIT, or you don't even make any tournament at all like last year. So, you know, play the best basketball in March, and I feel like if Yoeli's healthy, if Toulson's healthy, if Haas is healthy, hey, you only need five guys on a court, and you got those three guys. They're going to give you a fighting chance, because you're talking about three players that on any given night could pop off for a 30-point night. I mean, those are the type of guys that BYU has, and that's a different tune than previous years. But one thing I will add, too, because some Cougar fans are wondering, you know, who are some of the maybe new faces to keep an eye on? A guy that I'm kind of high on that I'm hearing a lot of buzz about that's going to step in and I think have to have a big role because of all the injuries, Trevin Nell. Trevin Nell, former Cal signee, was going to play for Quanzo Martin at Berkeley, but then ends up switching and signing with BYU, goes on a mission. He comes back, you know, fighting off that little bit of mission rust. But this dude is a sharp shooter. He can play a lot of different positions. He can play the guard line. He can do a lot of different things. He's 6'6", 6'7", got good size, got a great stroke. He's someone to keep an eye on that I think Cougar fans might not know much about right now. They're going to get very familiar with early on in the season because without Yoeli Childs in those first nine games.
Yeah, the first nine games without Yoeli are going to be fascinating to watch. I expect Jake Toulson to kind of take over the team, put the team on his back for that first stretch. And then I think you're right. Come March, if everyone's healthy, if you got your guys, I mean, that's when it matters most. You win the WCC tournament, you're in. You know, it doesn't matter what your regular season record was. And so, and we saw that with St. Mary's last year, you know, they win it, they're in, you know, and that's how it's done. So BYU has the potential. I do feel like, Matt, we're getting a little gypped from what we could have seen with, you know, the excitement when Yoeli came back and it was Toulson, Haas, Yoeli, Gavin. And now we don't quite get that, but the potential is still there. The talent is still there.
Want to see from them. And then Yoeli comes back. Then you've got some depth, even though you still don't have the size. You've got a couple more pieces that you can rely on. And so I think Mitch is dead on with Trevin and a few of these other dudes, the supporting cast. If they can take advantage of these nine games without Yoeli, that could really benefit them towards the back half of the schedule.
And I think Cougar fans got to hope and pray that the NCAA gives BYU a waiver with Richard Harward and Alex Barcelo. They get those guys, suddenly I feel like BYU could be back in the tournament conversation. I think those two guys, if they can get them, man, BYU could be back in business for the NCAA tournament. They still might be. They still might be able to get it done and go. They might shock us all, but Barcelo, he's legit. He might be. If they got a waiver, the former Arizona player, four-star recruit, if they got him waived, I believe he would be the second-best player instantly on this BYU basketball roster behind Yoeli. I think he's that good. I think. I mean, literally watching him on that first day of practice, I was like, this is a guard BYU hasn't had since Jimmer. I think he's the best guard that you had. Like, I'm telling you, like, again, small sample size, and seeing his games at Arizona, watch some of those, I think he's got endless potential. Like, he's a perfect fit for Pope. Talking with Cody Feger and Pope, they were watching him when he was in AAU ball. They've always been like, you know, they were always recruiting him, and obviously he blew up and went to Arizona, but when he went in the portal, they instantly made him a priority, and he came, and he believes in Pope, he believes in Feger. They could get him, that would be huge. But I almost feel like, in terms of need, Harward would be the bigger boom for this group this year. Yeah. But talent-wise, Barcelo's off the charts. He could be really good.
Wow. Ton of potential. I think the beginning of this Mark Pope era for BYU basketball is going to be a ton of fun to watch, even with the injuries and, you know, Yoli being out. But exciting times, and we're less than a month away from the beginning of that the basketball season. So football's going on. We're going to get basketball soon, and October is my favorite time of the sports year. There's everything is going on right now.
And we're
going
to finally have Cougar Sports Saturday on live on the radio next week. So yeah, next week, 12 to 3, we'll be back live in studio at Broadcast House in the main studio. We'll have it on KSL News Radio, KSLNewsRadio.com, a live stream on KSLSports.com. So yeah, plan schedule that out. So when you're getting ready for game day for BYU versus Boise State, block off 12 to 3 for Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll be back live on the air.
Guys, I miss you guys. I wish I was there with you, but soon enough, we'll all be reunited. And what a great time of year. We've got football, basketball coming up. Our beloved Lakers are getting ready for some action. I mean, this is just the best time of year.
It really is, and it's going to be a lot of fun to be back on the airwaves again. But thanks to everyone for subscribing or listening to this podcast. Make sure to subscribe to Cougar Sports Saturday on KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio. We'll talk to you next week here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.